Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have but one Father in heaven and one Master, the Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In my 7th and 8th grade religion class at St. Mary's School, we were studying this past week the priesthood of Jesus. And one of the things I was trying to convey was the truth, that strictly speaking, Jesus is the one priest. He is the only priest. He is the one mediator between all of us and God our Father. And by virtue of our baptism, we participate in that one priesthood of Jesus Christ, especially by being privileged to offer sacrifices to God our Father and to give him praise and thanksgiving in our worship. Now, Father Parker and I, all those ordained to the priesthood, in addition, participate by way of ministry in Jesus' one priesthood. And in a similar way, in the gospel, Jesus makes clear that we have only one Father, one teacher, one spiritual guide, and that is God himself. God is our one Father, and all human fatherhood derives from God's one fatherhood. The spiritual fatherhood of us priests also derives from God's one fatherhood. Jesus is our one teacher or master, and any other teaching must always point to him, who is the truth. The Holy Spirit, we could say, is our one spiritual guide. And any other guide must always cooperate with the Holy Spirit to point us along the straight path to true life and love. So when Jesus, for example, tells us to call no one on earth Father, his concern is not about vocabulary, but it's about, you might say, mentality. Jesus wants us to know that no one can take his place as the giver of life, as our teacher and our guide. And to the extent that any parent or teacher or guide is worthy of the name, they must first be a good child, a good student, and a faithful disciple of the one Father, the one teacher, the one guide. You might remember that a couple weeks ago, I think at the beginning of October, both Father Parker and I mentioned in our homilies the threat to religious freedom in America that now comes from our government in Washington. And this threat is a reminder to all of us of what one of the very early founders of our American experiment, William Penn, who founded Pennsylvania, what William Penn once said: a people who will not be ruled by God are destined to be ruled by tyrants. A people who will not be ruled by God are destined to be ruled by tyrants. You may remember that William Penn, in founding Pennsylvania, it was founded as a colony for Quakers in particular. And the Quakers don't believe in many of our commonly held Christian tenets, including they don't believe in the Trinity, for example. But I think that most faithful Catholics would agree with the sentiment expressed by William Penn and how crucial it is for a free people to first confess that God is their Lord and ruler. And we Catholics know that Pope John Paul said much of the same in slightly different language in his various encyclicals and other teaching documents. So if we and our leaders are not, as individuals, willing to be ruled by God, if we and our leaders just want to be independent freewheelers who do not acknowledge God's lordship, then God help us, because we then would have no future as a nation. You know, paradoxically, God does not work alone. He could work alone, but he uses us. And throughout salvation history, he has used many other persons as his instruments to bless us with his gifts of fatherhood and knowledge and direction. And he illustrates this by what Jesus says in the gospel about the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus tells us that they sit on Moses' seat. In other words, in a certain sense, they were the successors of Moses, who God had raised up to pass on to the chosen people God's words and direction, leading them from slavery to the promised land, and of course from Mount Sinai, bringing them the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Now, the scribes made their living out of knowledge of the law of the covenant, which God gave through Moses. The Pharisees were the group of people who gave themselves full time to trying to live by all of the different elements of the law. So it was to be God's words that would come from them. And Jesus also gave a warning, however, that they were hypocrites and that they did not act on the words of God, and their knowledge had actually made them proud. They were not humble servants of the word, but rather proud hypocrites whose personal example was very likely to lead others astray. Now, I think this is Priesthood Sunday. We know that of this same reality in our church, especially among the clergy, priests, bishops, and even popes, who have failed quite spectacularly to live the word that they preach to others. And that's an unfortunate aspect of our human reality. But it's interesting, in the first reading from the prophet Malachi, we hear of an even worse situation among the temple priests who are actually teaching contrary to the law. They were engaged in false teaching, causing others to stumble, teachings that were not based on the inerrant word of God, but on their own opinions and on half-truths. And this is almost precisely the situation that the church has had to suffer through in our own country, especially over the last 50 years or so. As Archbishop Chaput has said many times, unfortunately, two generations of Catholics have suffered through much confusion, which was actually generated within the church herself. Now, here are a number of common falsehoods that even today one can hear. Here's just a couple that come to mind. It is no longer necessary to go to confession. There is no such thing as mortal sin. There's no such thing as original sin. Everyone, including non-Catholics, and no matter what the state of their soul, should come forward to receive communion at Mass. Contraception, both outside of and within marriage, is okay as long as two people seem to really love one another. Catholics no longer believe in hell. We no longer believe in the devil or purgatory. God is good, after all, and could not possibly allow any of us to go to hell. There's no good reason not to ordain priestesses. The Church ought to get in sync with the times and ordain priestesses. Jesus really didn't work any of these miracles that are in the Gospels. Lighting candles and praying to saints are just signs of superstition. Anyway, you get the point. And Catholics have had to hear these kinds of things even within the Church. Those who have taught these falsehoods over the course of at least two generations, those who have not been obedient and faithful to God's word, they will have much to answer for. What does Jesus want from his priests? Well, it's obvious he wants them, us, to have integrity and to preach his words, all of his words, including the words that in many respects seem most challenging and most difficult. And he wants, of course, all of us to practice what we preach. But we remember the words of St. Francis of Assisi when he would send his friars out to preach. Preach always, and when necessary, use words. Now, St. Paul himself did this. St. Paul, who in my own estimation is one of the most interesting personalities in the New Testament. I would really like to know what Paul was like. But he was certainly one who lived and preached and practiced in this way. And in the beautiful second reading which we're given, Paul says his intention was to treat them with the love of a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. And the greatest way that he could do that was to share with them, Paul says, not only the gospel of God, but our very selves. And Paul was giving the people he was evangelizing not only the words of eternal life, but he was giving them his whole being. Brothers and sisters, basically you and I, by virtue of our baptism, were called to be servants our whole lives in the particular vocation that God gives us. And this is not unusual. Remember that over the course of human history, many, many, many people had no choice but to live their entire lives as servants. If you think about it, in Jesus' parables, servants are appearing all the time. A servant does many things, works in the field, cleans, receives guests, sets the table, cooks dinner, probably only eats only after the master has eaten, cleans the dishes. The servants are supposed to wait up at night until the master returns if he's gone out, and so on. In one of the parables, you know, we hear of the servants who are supposed to even invest money. And if they don't make a profit, they're punished. The life of a servant, yes, can be difficult at times, but Jesus tells us the greatest among you must be your servant. But Jesus does more than simply tell us these things. Jesus himself, in his whole life, takes on the role of servant. And we remember particularly at the Last Supper, his washing the feet of his disciples. And then the following day, he fulfills his ultimate act of service for you and me on the cross. And we pray together, Almighty God and Father, you sent your obedient Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to give himself for us. Help us to serve you faithfully. Help us to be faithful to your word and to give you the obedient service of our hearts all the days of our lives. Amen.